Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme to our quiet dancing able. We're off the bat in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye! Hear ye! King Shazir the Terrible! All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
Which is the most persecuted religious group in the world today? The answer, in terms of sheer numbers and sheer horror, might surprise you. It's Christians, specifically Christians living in Muslim-majority countries, countries where Christians often preceded Muslims by centuries. I'm not talking about war on Christmas-type harassment. I'm talking about know your place or we're going to kill you persecution. Astonishingly, the Western mainstream media barely acknowledge what is happening. Let's look closer at this issue. It tells us a lot about the world we're living in. 100 years ago, 20% of North Africa and the Middle East, the birthplace of Christianity, was Christian. Today, Christians make up 4% of the population. Much of that decline has occurred in the last decade. In essence, Muslims are rendering North Africa and the Middle East free of Christians. Take Egypt, for example, my ancestral homeland. In just the past 2 years, tens of thousands of Christian Copts have left Egypt, and many others want to leave, but they simply cannot afford to. Why they want to leave is no mystery. On New Year's Day, 2011, the Two Saints Church in Alexandria was bombed, leaving 23 Copts dead and 97 injured. In recent years, dozens of Coptic churches have been attacked, many burned to the ground. In August 2013 alone, the Muslim Brotherhood and its supporters attacked and destroyed some 80 churches. Unfortunately, Egypt is more the rule than the exception. Hundreds of Nigerian churches have been destroyed in recent years, with especially deadly attacks reserved for Christmas and Easter church services, leaving dozens dead or mutilated. Churches have been bombed or burned in Iraq, Syria, and just about every place in the Middle East where churches still exist, except Israel. Christian businesses have been torched, Christian girls have been kidnapped, sold as child brides or slaves, and had acid thrown in their faces for not being veiled. Anyone born a Muslim who converts to Christianity faces jail and possibly execution. The list of fresh atrocities by Muslims against Christians grows longer almost every day. Even in Muslim countries often portrayed as moderate, Morocco, Indonesia, Malaysia, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Christian minorities are under legal pressure not to build churches or evangelize. The Christians in these Muslim countries are often identical to their co-citizens in race, ethnicity, national identity, culture, and language. There is no political dispute between the Christians and Muslims, no land dispute. Vastly outnumbered and politically marginalized, these Christians simply wish to worship in peace. Instead, they are hounded and attacked. So then, why is this happening? And why is the media making so little mention of it? The first question is easy to answer. Christians are being persecuted in Muslim countries because they're Christians, or as the Quran puts it, infidels. That is, non-Muslims who are regarded by many fundamentalist Muslims as inferior. As a fundamentalist interpretation of the holy books of Islam has grown in the last 50 or so years, Christians have suffered, and in recent years they have suffered terribly. I document this in my book, Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. If this were happening to any other group besides Christians, it would be the human rights tragedy of our time. There would be loud worldwide calls for action. But the silence in the mainstream Western media is, as they say, almost deafening. Why? Because Muslim persecution of Christians throws a wrench in the media's narrative that Muslim violence is a product of Muslim grievance. That grievance is, first and foremost, portrayed as the sin of European colonialism and alleged American imperialism. In the Muslim world's mind, those two sins are personified by the Jewish state of Israel, a nation the Muslim world believes was forced upon it by the colonial powers of Europe following World War II and is currently supported by the United States. Much of the Western world and the Western media have largely bought at least some of this narrative. Here's how it works. Because Israel, with the backing of the United States, is stronger than its Muslim neighbors, the media, while not defending Islamic terrorism, often portray terror against Israel, America, and even Europe as the actions of understandably angry underdogs fighting for what they deem justice. But what happens to this media narrative when Islamic terror is directed against a minority weaker than them? In this case, the millions of indigenous Christians throughout the Islamic world. The answer is that, rather than abandon this narrative, the media just don't report Muslim persecution of Christians, except for the most sensational cases. That's why you probably don't know that there are barely any Christians living in Algeria, Tunisia, and Libya, nations where Christianity once thrived, or that this is happening in Egypt, Iraq, Iran, and even Lebanon. So yes, Christians are indeed the most persecuted religious group in the world today. But reporting it would violate the media's narrative of Christians as persecutors and Muslims as victims. I'm Raymond Ibrahim, author of the Al-Qaeda Reader for Prager University.
Join Prager University, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and sign up for free at PragerU.com.
Thank you very much, Mr. Williams, and I would like to start by congratulating the Honourable Member for the Recon on securing this debate, which, as he rightly points out, is incredibly timely in this period of Advent and the run-up to Christmas, which, as I think he articulated very well, is of course a Christian festival, but as we each embark on our Christmas shopping and the hectic run-up to preparations for inviting family round, it is all too easy to forget sometimes the real meaning of Christmas and why we're celebrating at this time of the year. And I know from my own constituency postbag, there is a genuine feeling among some Christians that they are being overlooked and even sometimes discriminated against on the basis of their faith. Clearly, the examples given, which I'm sure we have all heard about from time to time, of government agencies, local government organisations feeling oversensitive about Christmas and then leading to the ridiculous actions of banning it or refusing to use the words, is obviously silly. It, just as it is right for other festivals to be celebrated, and indeed in many of our schools, which are now multi-faith, the children from the different religions will each at a particular time of year, whether it's at Eid or Ramadan or Hanukkah or at Christmas, will actually share with the other members of the class what their particular religion celebrates at that time of year. And in fact, that facilitates a better understanding for all the young people. And I very much hope, in fact, that since the quality of religious education is hopefully improving within the country, that in future generations that will actually lead to a much greater tolerance, understanding and harmony between the different religions in the country. So clearly any institutions that are taking that oversensitive approach to Christmas are not acting in a right-minded way, and as the Honourable Member pointed out, I too have never met any member of another faith or indeed any fairly right-thinking person who does not have faith who has any objection whatsoever to celebrating these religious festivals. Like many members at the moment, I've just got my Christmas cards sent off to local printers and will soon start the mammoth task of signing them all. And this year, the front of my card has a nativity scene drawn in felt pen and then scanned and printed. Last year, I had a penguin juggling snowballs, and the year before, I had a reindeer. And the designs in the front of my card are chosen and designed by local school children in my constituency. So obviously, there is a variety of things that people associate with Christmas, and it's nice, I think, and fitting that, that every so often, in fact, the winning design is one that does hark back to the traditional meaning of Christmas.
Richard?
Is she aware that the post office at the moment have two
religious stamps. One is of a very nice angel, whether an archangel, I'm unsure, and one is of Madonna and Child. However, the latter, apparently, and I had an email on this yesterday, I've checked it out in the Parliamentary Post Office, but if I'm wrong, I'll put up both hands, but apparently the Madonna and Child stamp is only available by request. Now, I'm not suggesting the post office are Christianophobic, but one has to question why is Madonna and Child only available on request, whilst lots of other stamps are available just walking into the post office.
I thank the Honourable Member for his intervention. I confess, having not even signed my cards yet, I'm not quite at the stage of going to buy the stamps. But certainly, it does seem strange, unless I know when they bring out Christmas stamps, sometimes there's one which, you know, there's a set of four, and the ones at the top end are for strange amounts for sending to all countries around the world. So I don't know whether that's the reason, but perhaps other members will know the background to that, or indeed the post office might think again and make such stamps available, at least here in the House of Commons, if not more widely elsewhere. I'm sure the Honourable Member will be able to advertise the fact that this is available so that it will be more requested. So clearly different people associate different things with Christmas, and it is right that as well as the Santas and the snowmen, we also have the traditional meanings of Christmas represented. We obviously have been living in a time over the past decade or so of increasing religious tension, and this is not just related to Christianity, and this is not just related to the United Kingdom, but across the world. We have had obviously the great controversy in 2005 with the cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. We've just been all following, I'm sure, avidly the news story of Gillian Gibbons and the price she was paid for, or price she had to pay for allowing her school children to name a teddy bear. And this does raise concerns and raise tensions across the country. I think it's very important in this time that we do act with responsibility, that we do act with respect to all faiths, because surely that has to be the way forward. I think it's also important that we preserve that freedom of speech. And indeed, shortly after the cartoons of Muhammad were presented, I actually took part in a debate at the Oxford Union on the issue of freedom of speech and how much it should be moderated by respect for religion. Certainly.
Very generous, but she's touching on various issues that are in my secondary notes, as it were. In relation to the Prophet Muhammad, I hope she'll agree with me that public money should not be used to blaspheme the Prophet Muhammad. And if she does agree with me, does she share my concern that public money, taxpayers' money, from Shropshire, from all over the country, from her constituency, was given to the Arts Council, which gave £5,000 to prop up falling ticket sales in Newcastle when Jerry Springer, the opera, was showed? Public money being used to blaspheme
intervention should be brief.
Thank you very much, Mr. Williams. I believe I get the point that the Honourable Member is making. I think we do have to be careful in preserving freedom of speech. I think that is very important, and I'm not somebody who would take the view that it's for us politicians to decide on artistic merit and censoring overly. At the end of the day, I think the arts do push boundaries. They do do things which make us think. Sometimes those are things which are insulting, which are offensive. And while that is not good in itself, if an artist or a writer is forever working within the bounds of never offending anybody, then in fact that can actually be very stifling to that creativity. So I do think we need to be quite careful on this issue. We're in a free country, and obviously anybody that doesn't like that kind of production is not compelled to go and see it, nor should they be.
Assembly Wilson.
And I appreciate the point which was being made, but I think that the difference with the Arts Council money which went to the Jerry Springer show was not so much that this was a case of censoring or stopping censorship, but actually promoting something which many people in this country found to be offensive. And that's the difference. It's one thing to say we don't want to censor, it's another thing to say we want to promote and use public money for it.
Well, it is obviously up to the bodies that make those decisions to come to their conclusions. They will be looking at different bids, and having not been party to the specific bid that was put forward, I can't comment with too much detail and information on that specific case. But what I wouldn't say is that even when public money is being spent, that the fact that it may offend a particular group of people is a reason to say, well, we absolutely cannot do this, because there are always sensitivities that are not necessarily always predictable. And I would just turn to the question that we've just been seeing on the news in the past few weeks of Gillian Gibbons naming a teddy bear Mohammed, which obviously is seen by many people, particularly in Sudan, as very offensive, so deeply offensive that they felt the need to take to the streets to demand the execution of this teacher from Britain who had gone out there to do a job and try to contribute to the country and clearly fallen foul of the sensitivities there. I think that just actually demonstrates the fact that you cannot always be certain not to be offending anybody, because in the context of our culture here, naming a teddy bear would not be something which would be easily seen to be something which would cause offence. Therefore, I think public bodies... Well, I mean, my view, for example, on the cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad was that it was a positive thing that our British newspapers did not print them. But I absolutely would defend their right to have the opportunity to do so had they chosen to. I like the fact they showed their judgment not to on that particular occasion. But I do believe that it's not for us politicians to make all of those calls, that we are living in a free society, and to preserve freedom of speech. We must allow those organisations, whether they're private and sometimes even whether they're public bodies which are funding different arts, to make those decisions based on the merit of the art which they are seeking to promote. There was similar tensions obviously with the play Beshti, where there were many protests and which obviously had been written by a young writer and raised important issues. I think as politicians, the closer we get into censoring and judging what the art should be in this country, I suspect the artistic complement of what's produced in Britain will not necessarily improve. So on that theme of freedom of speech, we obviously had the freedom, racial and religious hatred bill went through, which included proposals to make threatening or insulting religion a crime. And I'm very pleased that, along with others in the House, my party opposed that, and indeed it was reduced to only threatening behaviour or language. And I think that's right, because it's not for the state to determine people's beliefs, and it's not for the state to intervene in that way. And indeed, that very legislation which was purported to protect freedom of religion, in fact, was very much opposed by many Christians and people of other faiths who had the very well-grounded fear that, in fact, it could impact on their ability to say what they wanted to say in praise of their religion, to interfere with what was said within the churches or indeed other holy places. And so it's important that when we introduce legislation and we introduce measures to protect one group of people, that we do not inadvertently actually destroy the freedom of speech of another group. Obviously, where it goes beyond beliefs, when actions are discriminatory on the basis of sex or race or so on, then the state has a responsibility to act to protect its citizens. But I do think we have to take care not to enter a kind of big brother world of thought crime, where what's in somebody's mind somehow can lead to them being guilty of some offence. The Honourable Member was very right to point out the great benefits of Christianity to this country over the years. It's all very well for us to hear about the negative sides of religion, as we often do, particularly with relation to conflict around the world. But as he pointed out, many of the great artists, musicians and architects of our past were inspired by that very Christian faith, and we are all living with the benefits of that today. And indeed, continually, Christians make great contribution to our communities, both locally, nationally, and indeed internationally, if you look at some of the work done, for example, by Christian Aid. Nearer to home for me, there was a recent study done in Glasgow which showed that there was a great hidden contribution made by church groups, with over 2,000 projects funded by the church working in and around Glasgow in some of our most deprived communities to improve the life chances of individuals there. And in my own constituency, in fact, there's a group of young people keen to set up a youth cafe in Bishop Briggs, and in fact the place where they're currently meeting to do all their planning, the support that they're getting from the youth worker is all actually coming through one of the churches in the area. So there's a great deal that is actually contributed by the church within this country. And in fact, in terms of campaigning and moving things forward, well, you just need to look at campaigns like Make Poverty History or the Move for Greater Fair Trade Products to see the impact that the church has managed to have on getting these issues to the top of the political agenda, and also to create a critical mass of people campaigning and actioning about the same issue to actually make companies change their minds on certain issues, to put pressure, for example, on big supermarkets to stock more fair trade products. And perhaps the Honourable Member, with his understandable points about the difficulty for getting Jesus's and Christian-related Christmas cards and gifts and Advent calendars and so on, that may be the next campaign that some members of the church might want to work on, because with that network across the country, it can indeed be a very powerful lobbying group, and we all know that the companies are most likely to listen to the numbers of what they will sell. So there have been great, great benefits of Christianity to this country. And that's why it is very regrettable when we do see some anti-Christian sentiment. I don't think it's entirely pervasive and as widespread, perhaps, as the Honourable Member suggests, but I think there are certainly examples where it does happen. We just need to look at the case around about this time last year, in fact, with British Airways employee Nadia Aweda, who was told she was unable to wear her cross around her neck as a simple demonstration of her faith. I'm sure many members here actually signed their LED motions and protested against that ridiculous decision, in my mind. And I think, again, that is an example where there is a far too much put on the sensitivities, which actually probably won't exist, because I can't imagine people who would actually be offended by such a demonstration of somebody's faith. Indeed, he mentions fewer nativity plays taking place. I think this is a great shame. I fondly remember taking part in various nativity plays, and I'm sure as members we all get the opportunity to go and see a few. In fact, next Friday I'm delighted to be going to Oxgam Primary in Kirkintilloch to watch the children in their nativity play, and it's one of the lovely traditions that we have in our education system. And alongside education about other faiths and religions, it's entirely appropriate that should happen, and schools should not feel the need to defer from such fabulous celebrations. And I haven't met people who have been in any way offended by the putting on of nativity plays. In conclusion, Mr. Williams, I think it is incumbent on all of us to make sure that we treat people from all faiths and of none fairly, and that is all I believe Christians are asking for. It should not seem too much to ask. We do recognise that Christianity is an important religion within this country, with a great tradition. It's now existing, obviously, in a very different 21st century Britain, where there are increasingly more and more faiths as the makeup of Britain changes. Increasingly also many people who are perhaps choosing not to subscribe to any one faith, but to pursue their beliefs and way of living in a different manner. And as individuals, it's incumbent on all of us to get along together and to respect each other's beliefs, whatever they are, whether they're a particular religion or whether they're not of a particular religion. And I think that some of the best examples of that happening are in fact in our schools today, where very often young children don't have these prejudices and thoughts of discrimination in their mind. It's very often that they learn it from adults around them. So the more integration and understanding that we promote at that age, I think, will certainly help us to deal with some of the problems that have been raised by the Honourable Member today. I think, in addition, when drafting legislation and looking at the equality agenda, we do need to bear in mind the importance of people's freedom of belief. Often this will mean a balancing, because there are obviously sometimes conflicts between different beliefs. But in a liberal society, that's what we must aim to try to work through. So I do thank the Honourable Member for introducing this debate and congratulate him on its timeliness.
Order. I should explain.
Hear ye, hear ye. Jesus is the table. All those looking to fill the table and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazoozradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, and you can be able to talk to the Awake Radio side and the Shazooz Radio side all in one go. So, folks, freedom out here is the ever-elusive unicorn that everyone's been searching for all their lives. It's freedom. Freedom of choice, freedom of whatever they want to do with their life, freedom to take the path that they want. And even, for my friends behind the scenes, freedom to paint the world with a wide brush. Paint the world all in one go. If you like pink, paint the world pink. If you like red, paint the world red. If you like green, paint the world green or whatever. Just whatever. Go crazy. Paint it multicolors. Paint it plaid. Paint it tie-dye like back in the 60s and 70s. And what you finally end up with once you get through painting the entire world all with all these multiple colors and different ideas and the air conditioner that sounds like a jet engine on Raymond's side. Thank you.
Marty.
What you end up with once you paint everything with all these multiple colors and with all the different views and opinions and ideas and beliefs and all that kind of stuff is you end up with one big great shade of black. Everything's black. There's no shades of gray. There's no happy medium. There's no nothing but one big black mess. Because when you mix all of this stuff together, you know, what happens when you mix red and white and yellow and green and blue and purple and all the different colors together, and finally it's just all one color. It's it. That's it. The whole world now has been painted with such a wide brush that it's all one color. So what do we do about this whole freedom thing? How are we going to get the freedom out there for everybody? How are we going to balance out the scales of justice so that everyone out there can be pleased and happy and satisfied and live happily ever after and be able to do their thing without being persecuted or murdered for whatever it is that they choose to do so? As long as my actions aren't doing something that hurts the world, then shouldn't I have the freedom to believe in and live my life the way that I choose? As long as I'm not running around slapping people with my holy text or forcing them to change their opinions or even trying to propagandize them into believing or disbelieving however they choose to do so. As long as I'm not treading on them, why should they be treading on me? So, the whole world out there is under this quest to seek the ever-elusive unicorn such as the word freedom. Does freedom even exist? In a society such as a civil society, you know, there's a voice out there that says there's nothing civil about war. And so, with that said, is there truly freedom? Is there truly civilization? Can civilization even occur as long as people are in disagreement with each other? How can we live side by side with each other while we're continuously painting the entire world with the wide brush, while we're continuously arguing amongst each other over who's right and who's wrong? How can we ever get anything accomplished? How can humanity further itself and finally reach its ultimate goal of what humanity could become if we could all figure out just that one deal? If we could find that freedom, if we could find that ever elusive unicorn named freedom, could we take and use that freedom to literally find a way to live in harmony with one another? I started this podcast off with something that just blew people's doors off, man. I'm telling you what, and I knew that fire was going to be set the moment I put that terminology, that picture right up there in front of everybody. But I wanted to point out something to you. We're all looking for the ever-elusive unicorn called freedom. We're all looking for peace and love and hope in this world. And there's so many people out there who have a view on how we can accomplish this. Hey, kill all the Muslims, kill all the Christians, kill all the Buddhists, kill all the atheists, kill all the skinheads, kill all the different neo-Nazi groups out there in the world, kill all the liberals or all the conservatives, kill everybody. You know? Well, in that process of talking about how you're going to kill everybody that, you know, it's kind of like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Once you throw the baby out with the bathwater, the whole deal's all over with. You don't got to worry about it because inside the house there isn't no crying going on. But outside the house, is it a mess? Do you even care? Inside the house is fine. It's quiet. It's peaceful, man. We threw the baby out with the bathwater. We got the baby washed. We threw the baby out and the bathwater. Now our hands are clean. The job is done. But meanwhile, outside that door, that baby's still sitting there crying. The scales of justice for that baby are off. They're way off. Because that baby needed the protection of the person that just chucked him out the doggone window. Just like we need the protection of one another if we're going to protect one another's freedom. Am I supposed to protect your freedom to be a jerk? Are you supposed to protect my freedom to be a jerk? That's the question. That ever elusive unicorn. Now, can we all agree on the same brand of coffee? Can we all agree on the same decaffeinated or not caffeinated, non-caffeinated or caffeinated, whatever? You know, Coke or Pepsi, Republican or Democrat. If you look out there in this world, there's so much divisive things out there in this world, and people will tell you what, if they see something that doesn't agree with their point of view, or they think you're going to go down a road, boy, they're going to jump on that. And it's like this, I've had my good friend here just not more than a few minutes ago tell me about, I had a conversation with somebody, and before I even got it all out, they pretty much started arguing with me over the points that they didn't like before they heard the whole entire picture. If you don't step back and look at the big picture of what's actually going on in this world, I mean step way back. Sure, you don't like the Christians. Sure, you don't like the Muslims. Sure, you don't like the skinheads. You don't like the rebel flag. You don't like the American flag. You don't like a lot of stuff. Well, somebody out there might like some of what you don't like. And then for everybody out there to be able to coexist together with all these differences in opinions and agreements and belief systems, then you have to practice what they call tolerance. But does tolerance even exist? Because there is another unicorn out there named tolerance. There's a unicorn named freedom. There's a unicorn named tolerance. So we got to find now not one unicorn, but two unicorns in order to make society better than what it is today. There are people out there dying because of what they believe. There are people out there going to war. There are people out there suffering. There are people out there starving. There are people out there homeless. That is because we've showed them tolerance. We've showed them freedom. You have the freedom to be poor. You have the freedom to starve to death. We don't care. That's your business. Do what you want to do. But wait a second. How are we going to balance those scales of justice out if somebody on the other side of the world has less than somebody on this side of the world? How come this baby over here gets the good fresh milk and the food, and that baby over there gets nothing but flies and dirt? The scales of justice. Well, wait a second, man. Now we got to have another unicorn called justice. So we've got freedom, we've got tolerance, and we've got justice. Three unicorns that we're on a quest to find in order to bring about peace and harmony on this earth. We got freedom, we got, I just lost one of the names of the unicorn. See, I mean, I'm getting confused here. There's several unicorns that we're looking for. We know freedom's one of the unicorns. We know that justice is one of the unicorns. I forgot the middle unicorn. Tolerance. Yeah, that's the one. That's a really ever elusive unicorn there, that tolerance unicorn. Hard to remember tolerance, because tolerance goes two ways. You know, I don't like some of the things you say, but I tolerate you because you're my pal. You're my friend, my brother, my sister, my brother from another mother, my sister from another mother. You are part of the human race. Or as Darwin might have pointed out, you might be a long-lost ancestor of the monkey. All right, well, I don't choose to be a monkey, so I think I'll call myself human. But regardless, now we still have to have that unicorn called tolerance is in there to keep the peace. The doggone referee of the deal. Okay, hold on now. You know, you got to believe what you don't have to believe what you want to believe, but, you know, you got to be respectful of his, too. All right, so wait a second. Well, we got another unicorn coming up. We got respect. We got to have a unicorn named respect. So now we're after four unicorns. We're after freedom. we're after tolerance, and we're after respect. Wait a second, I done forgot another one of the doggone unicorns again.
You've got too many unicorns. It sounds to me like you're a My Little Pony fan.
Yeah, I'm a brony, man.
Unicorn justice.
Justice. Doggone it. The ever-elusive justice. Now, where in the heck is justice at when you need it?
Wait, if you got the other three, then you don't need justice.
Well, that's, we could get by
justice
with...
Justice is only there to see to it that the other three stay alive.
Yeah, we could get by with one of these unicorns if we could find one. But we got four unicorns out there. We got freedom, we got tolerance, we got justice, and doggone it, I forgot the last one. Anybody remember the last unicorn?
Respect.
Oh, that's the guy. Doggone it. Now, if we could get all these gangs together, I guess we would have the dream team and be able to go out there and make this world a better place.
What are you talking about? You got that right,
Pilgrim. That's Hank Hill, man. What am I talking about? I'm talking about freedom, tolerance, justice, and doggone it, I forgot the other one again.
You know, we get close to the end of this show. I want to tell you a little bit of trivia, and the trivia is that a unicorn actually did exist at one time.
So we can find them if we really seriously look hard enough. They're out here. They're out there, man. We could resurrect freedom, tolerance, justice, and doggone it, respect. That's all I've been trying to get to. I started a fire, man. I started a fire. I threw a gasoline out there, and I started a fire. And before I even got my point out, boy, that fire was a-blazing. All right? Now, I look out there in this world, and I see all these things going on. Of course we know the government's corrupt. Of course we know there's all kinds of craziness. Of course we know there's mobs and gangs and different people out there that have such a different point of view, they're willing to take your life for it. People that have such a point of view that they're willing to take your respect, they're willing to take your justice, they're willing to take your freedom. And until we finally get down to understanding the whole overall, stepping back and looking the big picture kind of scene, then this is the world we're going to live in. You're fighting an uphill battle when you're trying to convince somebody else out there to believe the way that you believe. My buddy Thomas has pointed it out to me in a really good, passionate way about, respecting others and, basically leading by example. And so that's what today's show's all about. Trying to figure out ways that you can, yourself, and I can, myself, go out there and use our knowledge of freedom, tolerance, justice, and respect to lead our lives by example and to try to make this world a better place. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. We just have to understand that some people aren't going to agree with us. So we just keep doing the things that we've been doing. We keep doing the things right. We keep doing the things that are by natural law, no harm. That's not that hard. If you choose to walk that path, if you choose to be the person that you want to be and that you want the rest of the world to be, show them how to do it. Shine that light and show them, where that light is. And, if they choose in this wonderful world, this big giant buffet of all kinds of choices to pick your light out, hey, they might just start doing the same thing. They might follow that lead. So
well,
I'm saying
one thing that you keep harping on about is how people view you, and I say the way you want people to view you, you need to stop being schizophrenic in your behavior and always act the way you want them to see you, and then they'll always see you that way. And before you know it, they'll be conditioned to expect you to be that type of person, and then they'll treat you that way.
Sure, but it's not me personally that I'm worried about. It's the world as a whole that I'm worried
well,
about.
Well, there's the problem. You got to start worrying about yourself first. Once you got your house in order, then you can actually let that house, its plenty, spill over into the other houses around you. And then it's up to them whether they choose to pick it up and use it.
My house isn't made out of glass. I tell everybody the truth. My house is a dump. I mean, I got duct tape and baling wire holding it up. So, I'm not trying
to... Who said anything about glass?
Because there's an old ancient proverb that he who lives in glass house should not throw stone. And so I'm not throwing stones. I'm just pointing out to the world that you have to understand my house is a dump. And my life is a mess. My personal ideas and trying to get a grip on, you know, I got this saying that I've coined sometime a long time ago that you can't walk through a cesspool and come out the other side smelling like a rose. It's just not possible. You know, you can spray all the Pine Sol and Lysol and nifty deodorants and even hang about 1,000 of those Christmas tree candles or whatever, those air fresheners that you put in your car and maybe
and some of they'll just smell like somebody farted in a Christmas tree.
Yeah, and so when you walk across the cesspool and you get on the other side, you stink. We all stink. I'm sorry, but no matter what you've learned throughout your life, you still don't know everything there is to know. Neither do I. The only way that we can figure things out is to try to make the best out of a bad situation, like my buddy Raymond says. If life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. All right? So we're not totally beyond hope. Humanity isn't totally sunk. It's like the saying, it's not over till the fat lady sings. But that's kind of rude, man, because maybe the fat lady ain't a singer. Maybe she's a dancer. I don't know. She might be into kung fu. I saw a movie like that once. But the fact of the matter,
you need to leave me alone, man.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is, you know, we got one.
All of a sudden, Mama Cass comes into my mind.
Yeah, we got one heck of a mess going on in this world. And this morning, I woke up and I found a new terminology that I'd never saw before. You know, I've heard of homophobia. I've heard of Islamophobia, but I never heard of Christophobia or Christianophobia. It just happened to pop up at me this morning, and I'm like, well, who would be afraid of a Christian? Who would be afraid of Christ? I mean, if you don't believe in him, there's no need to fear. But the fear factor is what got me motivated to begin with. Was there's so many people that can't even enjoy their life, that can't even enjoy their freedom because they have to live in fear because somebody's continuously telling them that somebody's out to get them. The boogeyman's behind the doggone bush. The boogeyman's under the bed. There's a terrorist behind your house. There's a terrorist in your neighborhood. There's somebody's coming to get you. Don't pick up the hitchhiker. He's probably an axe murderer. All right? Well, we go through our life, and this is the kind of, I call it indoctrination that you get, to live in fear, to have, you need Big Brother to be over your shoulder keeping an eye on you. You don't want to walk through certain neighborhoods unless you've got a gang of big, powerful dudes right behind you that if anybody gives you any
trouble. So, wait a second. Are you saying we should reject anything that tells us we have to be afraid?
No, I'm saying that you need to, like, be aware. You'll open your eyes and be alert. In the military, they call it attention to detail.
Okay, should we distrust those who try to make us afraid of things?
If it's becoming a repetitive habit and the boogeyman still hasn't jumped out on you, it starts to become the boy who cried wolf. Mm-hmm. You know, the boy was standing on the hill and he said, "Wolf, wolf," and everybody came running, and whenever they got there, he was buckled over laughing. And he did that multiple times, right? Wolf, 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 and everybody came running, and then finally one time he's like, "Wolf, wolf, wolf," and the wolf really was there, but doggone it, nobody came, and he got munched. Mm-hmm. That's the whole deal, folks. Look, there's a lot of good people from every different sect of life. There's a lot of good people all over the world. There's a lot of terrible people with terrible ideas in this world. But if you choose to paint all of society, any group, with this one specific label, this one specific color, or whatever, then why do we...
Remember, though, until you reach outside your sphere, you're only painting them in your mind.
Well,
it's when you act upon somebody else based upon the color you painted, whatever it is, with that wide brush.
Why is there a black
and
man?
And affect them and reach out and try to paint them physically with that brush.
Why is
that's when there's a problem.
Why is there a black man, Thomas?
What do you mean, why is there a black man?
Why is there a black man? Why is
why
there,
are the monkeys?
Why is there a white
why,
man?
Why,
no,
why
we're
are
not
the
talking.
Why
no,
are
listen,
crickets?
Thomas, we're not talking about animals. We're talking about humans.
Oh, so humans and animals are totally different, and humans are both animals.
Wait a minute, I can answer Shaziz's question. They're a black man for the same reason they're a white man. White men came from the northern part of the hemisphere. They didn't need their skin pigments changed. Black men came from the African continent, which was very hot. Brown men came from South America, where it was warm, but not really hot. So, actually, the different races of people, as far as skin color goes, come from the actual, whatever part of the hemisphere of the earth that they came from.
Yeah. That's a
And it wasn't until they came together that there was a white or a black man, because when there are nothing but black men around, nobody thinks about the skin color. When there's nothing but white people around, nobody thinks about the skin color.
So,
it wasn't until you had something to compare the two against,
so what
that you suddenly had this in their mind. The same thing with everything that you want right now.
So what
the
I'm
reason
seeing,
you can't have it is because the second we have it completely like you want, we will become desensitized to it, and we'll lose our ability to see it anymore. We'll become snow-blinded by it,
so,
and it won't be there.
So what I'm seeing here, what I've heard from both of you, is that by visual observation, we notice differences in people that we threw labels on. And so now, instead of being humans, we're black human, white human, yellow human, red human. We got all these different labeled colors on there. What would stop?
Why
what would stop
end
anybody?
With the word human? They
what,
all end with the word human.
What would stop anybody from differentiating? I can't even pronounce that word. Differentiating all humans, and like Raymond just mentioned, he beat me to the punch. Why can't we just be humans? Why can't we just be people? Why can't we just be, you know, whatever our creator or the accident that put us here? Why can't we just be, why do we got to see any differences in each other anyway? Why do we got to have all these different categories for people that when you look inside,
yeah, why,
of it,
why does that artist always have to use all so many different colors? Why can't he just paint that painting with one color?
But is he labeling all the separate colors? Is he labeling them in groups as, okay, this is the white section of my painting, and this is the black section of my painting, and may the two never merge? Black can live in harmony with white. It's done on the chessboard. All right,
well,
it's done on the piano.
That's it, though. He does merge the black and the white together whenever he wants it together to make gray.
So
he mixes white with blue so he can get light blue. That way you can have a difference between a sky and an ocean.
That's pretty cool, man, because that's the whole milk.
But he, this is a thing, though, okay? The artist, the artist who's putting that paint on the canvas doesn't hate any of those colors.
Ah, so
they're all equal in his eyes as far as being able to stick to the canvas.
So basically,
and dry and stay there permanently. Stay where it belongs so that they can continue to hold that image frozen in time.
So basically,
and if it was a movie, then he'd expect it to move around and mix in and mix out and separate and become pure and then go back to being muddied up with other colors and whatnot in order to bring together thousands of pictures as they move past your eyes.
So basically, just like the beauty of the picture, the beauty of the melting pot, which is the world, it doesn't need a label. It just needs recognition of the beauty and what it is. I mean, look at it. Come on, man. Go to any culture out there and look around you. There's beauty all over the world, even in the worst possible. I saw a picture one time of a trash heap. And in the middle of this trash heap was a really beautiful flower. Don't know how it got there. Maybe at some point in time somebody had a garden there and somebody just, you know, trashed it, but this for some reason this one flower pops up in the pile of all this trash. And I was like, you know, that's pretty profound. If you can find beauty amongst all this trash, and you can recognize that, that trash don't look so bad anymore. The whole world out there doesn't look so bad whenever you start looking at the hearts of the really good people of this world. The people that are willing to help somebody up out of the ditch. They don't ask them what they believe or what color they are or anything before they reach their hand out as a human and say, let me help you up out of there, brother, sister, you know. You see what I'm saying? This whole grand scheme of things, the whole big picture, all this divisive stuff that is a tool for whoever's behind the scenes stirring the pot or whoever has a specific agenda, it's not necessary. And if you want the scales of justice to ever balance out, it has to be fair across the board. You have to stand up for, if you're an atheist, if you're a Muslim, you have to stand up for the Christian just like they have to stand up for you. That's the only way that ever in this whole deal's ever going to work. Otherwise, we spend all of our time sitting around arguing over whether there is or isn't a God, whether there is or isn't a one-world government conspiracy, whether we did or didn't go to the moon, whether the Earth is or isn't flat. Meanwhile, the Earth is either standing still, as going stagnant, or it's spinning around the sun, and it just repeating itself over and over and over again, and humanity is stuck in a rut. We're stuck in a mud. We are sinking in the quicksand of life because we haven't figured this out yet. It's easy to jump on the bandwagon of hate and discontent because you feel like somebody has offended you. But it's harder to understand that you have to show tolerance. That this, look, this is offensive behavior. I don't have to stand there and watch this. So I'll turn my back and I'll walk away and let them know that at least one person disagrees with what they got to say. Now, if more people saw actions such as these, people doing things like that, you know, making a mockery of somebody else's beliefs, and they turned their back and just simply walked away and had no part in it. So one of the things pretty close to what it was I was trying to talk about was just pointed out to me before the show ever even started during a nice, passionate debate, was that by bringing racism up, you perpetuate racism. By bringing religion up, you perpetuate the hate and animosity. But the whole thing is, unless we can open our mouths and speak honestly and freely about what we believe in a respectful manner, then we ain't never going to sort nothing out. You don't have to agree with what I got to say. You don't even have to listen to what I got to say. Man, it's as easy as a little click that button and shut that thing off, unsubscribe or whatever, just turn around, walk away, because there is a buffet of things to watch out there. Life is entertainment. There's art and entertainment. There's food and wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famine. You could go out there and live happily ever after, or you can go out there and live miserably. You know, when people's misery overlaps those who are living in, you know, the happy-go-lucky, tiptoe through the tulip lifestyle, then, you know, suddenly you get these debates out there. Look at these terrible bums over there messing with these peaceful, rich folks and stuff. You can go out and protest and burn your own communities down, or maybe even just go to somebody else's community and burn that down. But how's that easy? How's that furthered your cause? It just sent you back, you know, knocked you back multiple steps. Because now, not only have you made yourself look bad, but you just totally wiped your argument out of the way. Because why should I listen to what you got to say after what you just did? Why should I listen to what you have to say after what those people under your flag did? Every nation out here has a flag that they call their own. It's basically a marker, place marker, to show, hey, this is America, this is Germany, this is Britain, this is Canada, this is whatever.
Hey, no flag, no country.
That's right, no flag, no country. But you know, either way, under the guise of those flags out there, there were governments that did wrong things, there were people that did wrong things. Should we tear down the flag? Should we take that label off of our country? Could we honestly not have any flag, not have any borders, live in harmony on this world without no government and just, you know, whatever? All right? The ultimate utopia would be, if I want to go to China, I could just jump on a plane and go to China. But the reality of it is, if I want to go to China, I got to get certain documentation, I got to go to the airport and get groped, I got to go over there and watch what I say, because if I go over there and say, hi, you know, I'm a Christian from the United States, how are you all doing? Boy, I'll be up underneath the jailhouse somewhere, or maybe off in the alley, I don't know. But according to what I've told, it's not really safe to go over there and profess your beliefs, and just like in the Middle East. It doesn't matter where you believe over there. You got to be careful about what you say you believe. That's the whole point. And if I can't say I believe in a certain thing, then is that ever elusive unicorn called freedom really there? What about the respect unicorn? What about the tolerance unicorn? And there was one other unicorn out there. I know we had four of those turkeys. What was that? We got tolerance, we got respect, and we got freedom. There was one other one.
Wait, you're trying to find them. Justice. So I guess that actually makes some Pokemons.
Justice!
Doggone it! What's the justice in chopping my head off because I came to your nation and professed that, hi, I'm a Christian from the United States? That's what I'm saying, man. And if you out there vandalizing somebody's mosque, you're an idiot. If you're out there vandalizing somebody's church, you're an idiot. That's from my own point of view. I got the right to say you're an idiot if I see you doing something idiotic. There ain't no reason to go out there and hurt people. There ain't no reason to go out there and kill people. I don't care what you think. We're over there fighting for oil, or we're over there fighting for religion, or we're over there fighting for land or resources, whatever. What gave anybody in this world the right to hurt anybody? And until we get down to just the basic common sense, a common belief of the whole thing, and until we can agree, you know, something as simple as the golden rule. Do unto others, you know, as you'd have them do unto you.
You know, I don't know if this has a lot to do or anything to do with what you're talking about, but to me it does. It seems to. I remember when I was in junior high school, there was this girl. She, not bad, but anyway, she had so many zits on her face. I mean, it physically hurt your eyes to just look at her, you know? And, oh man, people shunned her. And she always walked around with a real sad look on her face. But, anyway, I got trapped into conversation with her one time and couldn't get out of it. And I had to talk to her. And after about 10 or 15 minutes to talk to her, well, you know, she really wasn't all that ugly. So it wasn't hard to talk to her in the future. So after about 10 or 15 times of talking to her, come to find out, she started looking really nice. Not one zit had changed.
Let me ask you a question.
Before I know it, this girl was absolutely beautiful.
What I'm trying to say is,
beauty is only skin deep, and so is ugly.
Before you get off this subject, let me ask you a pointed question about this girl.
Yeah.
Let's say, hypothetically, this girl was the same age as you would have talked to her just then, but you were only 4 or 5 years old at the time talking to that same girl. Would you have even noticed the zits or the difference between ugly or not?
Yes, I would have.
Seriously?
If I was 20 years older, I still would have noticed this girl was flat physically. When the first time you look at her without knowing who she was inside,
this girl sounded right, only ugly.
But the thing is, her personality, who she was inside, was so beautiful, it overtook the outside.
So was ugly taught, or was it just a natural response that whenever you were first born, the first thing you looked at your mama's face was to see if she was covered with zits?
I don't know if it's taught, but it is learned. It is learned.
Well, we're told.
If it was taught to you, or whether you just assume it by reactions with other people.
We're told by the media.
My point is, if you don't know who somebody is, don't judge a book by its cover.
Well, we're told by the media that good-looking people look a certain way, and healthy people look a certain way. So,
right.
if you're not skinny and, you know, muscular and wear some really nice looking clothes, then, you know, you're just not good looking. You're just, you know, and take a long look at it. Now, I would venture to say that there are women out there who could look past the ugly at the wallet. If your wallet's fat enough, it don't matter how ugly you are. Because there's some guys out there that I would classify as like, brother, you just kind of, you know, hey, there's treatments for that kind of stuff. But, you know, they have love, man. There's people who are in love with them. Are they in love with them for their wallet, or are they in love with them because of their inner beauty? You see what I'm trying to say here? Somehow or another, society's put a lot of different labels on things, ugly, fat, you know, unhealthy, whatever, you know, black, white. We all look at each other differently. We all basically gauge our version of beauty differently. My version of beauty is like what you explained to after you got several moments into that conversation with her and you realized what she really was. You see what I mean? That's the whole point of the deal.
And she was really and truly a beautiful, beautiful young girl.
But the point is that, you know, the society that we find ourselves in, you know, the schools and being indoctrination centers, there are private schools. Not everybody can afford to send their kid to private school that, you know, the government's hands aren't in. As long as the government's hands are in anything, then you gotta have to have choices. Like, you know, we can't put this in there because this falls under separation of church and state or whatever. So we can't have this in there because it might offend the other group or whatever. But why does that even have to be there? Why couldn't we have the tolerance to teach it all? To show it all? And let these children use their minds to make an informed decision. Because now they know what it's about. There's no misnomer that every Muslim is a jihadist wanting to chop your head off. There's no misnomer that every Christian out there is going to come around and tell you you're going to burn in hell and slap you upside the head with the good book. You know this is what they believe. You know this is what they believe. Science says evolution. Religious views out there say creation. So you got creation on the table, you got evolution on the table, and people can understand both sides of the story so they can make an informed decision based on what they say. Hey, look, there's part of evolution that kind of matches part of creation. I think you know, I think I can hold on to this piece right here and I can understand this one over here as well. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
It's just, you got all these people out there arguing over and doing rude and hateful things to one another because, oh, you're treading on mine. You're treading on mine, back and forth. When in all reality, if you want to practice tolerance, you have to at least have some sort of understanding. Am I wrong? If you don't understand me, how can you be tolerant of me? You just see something that's different than you. I'm a white man walking through a black community. There's people in that black community that would be more than happy to invite me over to dinner. Not because of what color I am, because of my attitude or the way I carry myself. And there's people in there that would see nothing more than the color that would want to kill me. And that same thing would be vice versa over on my side. And it's a doggone shame that people have to look each other and label each other. It's a dang shame that people have to even hear the terminology racism or phobia of everything. And so, how's the world ever going to find its balance? You know, how are we ever going to get a resolution where everybody can live in harmony with one another and believe what you want to believe? Just don't hurt nobody in the process. I see all the divisive ways that the people get elected every time there's an election time. I see all the sneakiness behind the scenes. Where is the so-called democracy? Even though America is a representative republic, they always practice democracy for some reason. But if there's supposed to be the majority of the people go to vote and they want this specific candidate, where is the democracy in sitting around and cheating, stealing the doggone election by giving the other guy more numbers? Wasn't the whole purpose that everybody has a chance to put their point of view in, and if more people want this guy, then this guy is the president, regardless of whether he's the best candidate or not? You know, in order to have a fair election, you have to have that unicorn called tolerance. You have to have that unicorn called respect. Because without the tolerance and the respect, hey, I respect your vote. It's your right to vote how you choose, and it looks like you won, so we'll back your candidate, and we will be a nation together, and we'll work together to try to resolve issues. And we got to do that as a world. We got to figure out a way to do this as a world. We have our flags, we have our borders, we have our labels for our country. We got America, we got France, we got Germany, we got Russia and China and Japan and Korea and, you know, all the different nations of the world. We got them all. We got labels and flags and borders, and we know where our country starts and theirs begins, or vice versa. But in order for us to be able to not war with one another, we gotta find these unicorns, because the tolerance, the respect, the justice, and doggone it, there was one other unicorn up there somewhere. Tolerance, respect, and justice. Do you see how hard it is to try to keep track of all these unicorns? Freedom. That's the one. Everybody keeps searching for freedom. They keep talking about freedom. In every single nation, I have the freedom of choice. I have the freedom of speech. I have the freedom of whatever. But if you're taking your freedom of speech and you're using it as a gun to mow down the enemy of those who disagree with you, where's their freedom? So it's a double-edged sword, just like my buddy said. You gotta watch what you say in this world. You gotta watch how your words come out, because not everybody's gonna understand exactly what it is that you're trying to say. And like Raymond said, before you even get your story finished, doggone, somebody's already picked out what they don't like about what you're trying to say, and they've already changed the debate to that. When all of along, each and every one of us, were looking for all of these doggone unicorns. We were looking for freedom and tolerance and justice and respect. We didn't want nobody treading on our toes. We didn't want anybody forcing anything upon us. And in order for us to actually finally come together as humanity and become enlightened and actually reach our true potential of what I believe we could actually do, I believe that all things are possible if we was actually come together and decide to work together, seriously work together. There ain't nothing we couldn't accomplish. We could feed all the homeless. We could shelter all the homeless. We could heal the sick. We could design things that, if you believe in space, would send us to infinity and beyond. We could have all the clean, renewable, free energy that everybody wanted. But we sat around and we developed rules and regulations and things to hold each other back. Because I don't like what you're doing with that marijuana, I want to make sure that it remains illegal so you can't smoke it, because you might go insane and hurt my family. You see my point, guys? You can regulate your freedom right out of existence. And you're allowing your governments of the world, via your own actions and lack of tolerance, and lack of respect for one another to literally regulate away your freedom. Every time a law comes on the book, that's something that you can't do. Now, you got the right to paint with a wide brush. You can paint the whole world. You can paint all of any group out there any way you want to make them look. You can, however you perceive them. That's a terrible person over there. That's terrible. All Muslims are terrorists. All Christians are, but whatever. You will paint them all like that. And all that does is perpetuate the continuous debate that everybody's so afraid of. I got to have a new one now called debate-ophobia.
Hey, debate-ophobia, you can't down Christians. I don't down Christians. I just call them Bible-thumping hypocrites.
Well, then, I'm sorry you feel that way about me, brother, but I know.
I don't feel that way. I'm just saying, I've been trying to help you out with the description of people that don't like Christians. They're Bible-thumping hypocrites. That's what most people that don't like Christians call them. All Muslims are not terrorists. All Christians are not Bible-thumping hypocrites. But that's the label they put on them.
Yeah, and we've been labeling one another and seeing differences in one another since the dawn of time. And if we're ever going to get anywhere in this world, we got to understand that the giraffe is different than the zebra. You know? That's why I'm not a monkey. I see monkeys out there. I don't look like a monkey.
All I can tell you is zebra tastes a lot better than a giraffe.
Well, I wouldn't eat either one. So,
you don't pick either, man. We've had this discussion before.
Even your taste is under scrutiny. If I say I hate liver and onions, somebody's going to come out there, what, are you a freak or something? I love liver
and onions. Yeah, I got a question for you. That's
freaky if you don't like liver and onions. Holy cow, man. I mean, that's North Carolina beefsteak. I mean, that's like ribeye steak. Come on, man.
What's your question, Thomas?
You look at you see similarities between goldfish and catfish, right?
Yeah, I see they look alike. But they're still fish. Both of them are fish.
Right, but okay, so they have similarities, though, right?
Yeah, they're both fish.
They both have scales, right?
Right, and they both live in water. And
wait!
Catfish don't have scales.
Exactly.
But they're still fish.
Now, hold on. Okay, so if you had to say what the one thing that was the closest thing in similarity, the most similar to human beings on the planet, what would it be?
You trying to sucker me into saying that the similar thing would be
monkeys? I want you to be honest.
Well, there are people out there in this world who...
No.
I'm answering your question.
What do you personally see as having the most attributes that are similar to human beings that is not a human?
I'm answering your question. Just listen. I'm answering your question. There are people in this world who are hardcore evidence, proof positive of some form of evolution out there because they act just like the other.
That's not an answer. That is not an answer to the question that I asked. You were answering a question that you have in your own mind.
Monkeys have toes. You know?
They do. They do, don't they?
But their toes...
Hold on. What else has toes like monkeys, though?
My wife?
No,
what else
has toes like monkeys besides humans?
Let's narrow this down just a little bit. Monkeys, broad synopsis of primate. Now, if you want to get these...
Hold on, Raymond. You just said it. You said the key word, man.
Right.
Go back and say what you said.
Primate.
Exactly. Just like he said, catfish and goldfish, they're both fish. Well... Monkey and human, both primates.
Right.
They're the same thing.
Monkeys just like the goldfish. There's different races of them. Spider monkeys, you've got foxtail monkeys, you have chimpanzees, you have gorillas, but the one race of monkey that stands out above all the others as being closer to a human is the chimpanzee, because the chimpanzee can think, it can learn, and it will teach.
All right, well,
how to use tools.
Regardless, my wife can pinch me with her toes, but she's not a monkey either.
What does it matter if you are or aren't a monkey, though? I mean, does that mean that it's okay for you to bash a monkey over the head but not a human?
No, I wouldn't bash a monkey. And
there we go. Then that's all that really matters.
If I had my choice, then monkeys would have just the same amount of freedom as everybody else. So, you know, hey, the monkey has a right to keep and bear arms. That didn't work out so well.
I think they're kind of mad at you if you're going to tell them their arms are bear arms, because they got chimp arms or
I'm talking about firearms. I think monkeys should.
Are you trying to set them on fire now?
No, I'm talking about monkeys should have the right.
What did they do to you to set their arms on fire?
AR-15, man. If a monkey wants to have a gun, then he can have a gun. You know?
Just don't give him any bullets, huh?
Yeah, that's it. Put a cork in.
No, it's real simple, okay? And maybe people should be treated the same way. If you want a gun, you got to make your own.
Well, if you're smart enough to make your own, then you're smart enough to know the difference between right and wrong. If you pull the trigger and hurt somebody, then you're smart enough to be able to go to jail for doing what you did. Pay the consequences or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, no matter how you look at it,
Nobody's allowed to manufacture and sell guns anymore. If you want a gun, you just have to make one yourself. It means go buy the tools and drill out and thread and mill out and form your own stuff. Receivers, barrels, magazines. You got to make it all, or else you don't get to have one.
That's cool, but I'm still.
And then we'll see how quickly you are to use it in the manner that will require disposing of it.
If
you've worked your butt off to make that thing.
A fish will always be a fish no matter what it looks like. A monkey will always be a monkey no matter what it looks like. An ape will always be an ape no matter what it looks like. A human will always be a human no matter what it looks like, and so on down the line. So, while we're talking about just humans, not the monkeys, we're talking about humans, human beings, the people that thoughts and freedoms and, you know, lives and families, you know, just the peoples, not the animals out there. We can argue animal rights later, but right now we're arguing people rights. People have the right to be safe. They have the right to be free. They have the right against persecution. They have the right to live life and love just like everyone else on this planet should have the right to live life and love. So how are we going to come to this understanding that everyone has the right to live life and love if we can't find the doggone four unicorns that are out there ever so elusively running amok through the tiptoeing through the tulips or wherever it is that they're at right now, because we can't seem to find them? Freedom, tolerance, justice, and respect.
You're forgetting all about the big unicorn over there in the corner, the one with the biggest horn, and his name's Greed.
That's
he's stirring up everything.
That's not the unicorn, that's the dragon dressed up like a unicorn.
Maybe so, but you still, a lot of people see a unicorn because they don't see the dragon underneath until he's already bit him.
Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is till we figure out a way that we can find these unicorns, then we got one heck of a mess going on. You know, if we lose one person because they felt it necessary that life was so miserable that they had to jump off a doggone cliff or off a bridge or take some poison or shoot themselves and take their life in any form or fashion, that's a shame. That's a loss for humanity. Some folks would argue, oh, well, he was weak. We need to get rid of him anyway. You know, or maybe all the stupid people should die. Maybe whoever wrote the doggone words on a Georgia guidestone that said that we need to bring our population down to this number right here, 500 million or whatever, maybe they should have been the one to jump off first. Who has any right to tell the people of the world that we're overpopulated and somebody has to go? So the great culling, or the going out there, going to war, and keeping this all going on all the time, as long as somebody's dying, somebody's prospering. Is that humanity's ultimate goal? Is that humanity's ultimate achievement in life? Is we figured out ways to kill each other off so that the rest of us can live happily ever after? I submit to the world out there that every single life out there, regardless of your color, your race, or your religion, is valuable. And in my point of view, every time we lose anybody for any purpose, then humanity as a whole has lost. When we lose somebody to cancer, humanity as a whole has lost, because that means that cancer still exists. We haven't cured it. We haven't took our research and our knowledge to actually bring things to the forefront that would prove that cancer can be cured. So as humanity, we failed. And
it can be, but there's no money in curing cancer. There's money in treating it.
Well, so why do we even care whether there's any money in there? If it's to do the right thing, if the unicorn of justice is to be balanced out, if I'm dying of cancer and you know that there's a cure somewhere, but you can't bring it into my nation, because if you bring it into my nation, it's illegal. You can't use this over here. Where's the scales of justice? Where is the unicorn of justice? And so, I get to die. I get to die of a disease that could have been cured. And humanity loses. The moment I die, humanity loses. Everyone loses. The moment any of us dies, humanity loses. Now, I can understand somebody dying of old age and health issues that were, you know, due to the aging process of the body. But even that can be argued that somebody could actually figure out a way to slow down the decaying of the body, you know.
Well, that's a scientific thing right there. There is no scientific explanation as to why a human being grows old and dies. No scientific explanation whatsoever. Now, you go into the genes of a sea turtle, and it can tell you. He can live 300 years. You go into the genes of a horse. They can live 18, 19, 20 years. But there have been cases where a mare, female horse, was still in service as a brood mare at the age of 34 because of the way she was treated and brought up and taken care of all her life. But she still died of old age, and her genes said she should. But the human gene, there is no gene that will cause the human being to die. It's just that simple.
Well, now, what is it? I'll pose this question to both of you. What is, in your personal belief or opinion, the full potential of any human out here in this world? How far could any human go as far as being creative or doing anything or accomplishing something so profound, whatever? What is their ultimate, the best that they can do? Anybody?
Love thy neighbor, you would love yourself.
Well, that's a good one. I think everybody could achieve that. That's not only logical, but it's doable.
I believe it's doable. I truly do. But it's going to take a lot of effort.
Well, it takes a lot of personal effort for anybody to be either a good person or a bad person.
You know, it's like that little girl that I went to school with in junior high school. I mean, you've got to get to know somebody, not judge them by your standards. Don't judge them at all. Just learn who they are deep inside. I mean, there are a lot more good people on this earth in all nations, all countries, all races. There are way more good people than there are bad.
I agree.
I believe, I think I'm just throwing figures out here in the air, and I think I'm a little bit low, but I believe that there's at least 10 to 15,000 good people for every bad one. I really do believe that.
I believe it too.
Then why are the bad people running the world?
That's the question right there. That is the ultimate conundrum, enigma, a riddle within a riddle, whatever, is why it is that the dots are still ruling the masses.
I love that word conundrum.
Yep.
It's something that exists that cannot be explained logically.
And so we talk about common sense on here all the time, and we know there's a lot of good things that could be done in this world, and common sense would dictate that you'd want to try your best to, in your at least in your community or your household, try to make your life better for everybody. Try not to be so judgmental or, whatever. You got to understand that there's only one me. There will only ever be one me. Even if you clone me, that clone is not going to be the same as me.
When I was a kid, I was born and raised in the South, deep South. And I was 18 years old before I really found out that Yankees didn't have horns, tails, and eat little kids for breakfast.
Huh.
So as an older man, I went up and had the opportunity to work up north. And I was surrounded by Yankees. And I'm going to tell you something. Because of my southern accent, I would meet people and talk to them, and so help me. But the husband would grab one arm, the wife grabbed the other arm. You're coming home with us. We got to meet our cousins. It was a riot. I mean, the people were just as friendly as can be. They didn't eat little kids for breakfast. I mean, it was wild. But I was taught they did.
Yep.
So, duh. Get to know somebody. Get to know your neighbor.
When I was being raised up, we were told to be fearful in certain communities by certain members of the family because of certain incidents that occurred in the past. Regardless of maybe these individuals may have learned from history and are more tolerant and respectful of others that have differences, we didn't give them that opportunity. We just didn't go over there because we were told that if you do go over there, they'll rob you. They'll steal from you or stuff. But I can tell you that later on in life, I actually lived amongst these people in their community with them side by side. And I found out that that whole deal wasn't true. They weren't robbing me. They weren't trying to kill me. They weren't trying to steal from me.
Individuals in that area, that's all.
There were certain segments in that community that you didn't want to go around because they showed right out of the gate their disdain for you because they were told the opposite, on the opposite side of the spectrum. You don't want to go around this person over here because they'll kill you, you know. They'll do something terrible to you. And so they looked at me and I looked at them and we had a mutual understanding that we just stay away from each other and everything good. But the rest of the community out there, they were like my brothers and sisters. They were like my friends, my family. And they watched out for me and I watched out for them and they fed me and I fed them, vice versa. But somewhere along the line, all these children being raised up to be fearful of other people because of differences and the labels got put on them, you know. If I tell you, you know, that I'm a certain political deal, boy, you know, if I'm in the wrong crowd at the wrong time, they will come unglued and try to convince me why it is that I shouldn't be what I believe in. And that is not for my own personal walk in life. That is not where I come from. That is not what I believe in. I believe in being the shining light and trying to lead by example, but I should not have to be fearful of opening a dialogue with anyone out there and talking about what it is that I believe. Otherwise, lest I be scorned for my beliefs or my points of view. So the ever elusive freedom there, or the tolerance, the respect, or the justice, it doesn't apply to certain segments of my life because I'm not able to share with everybody out there. There's some folks that don't want you to share certain things. That's fine. But it's also, everyone also has the potential and the freedom of choice to literally stand up and walk away. Unless you're like trapped in the same jail cells, mean you got to listen to me on, go on and on and on and on. See, now I'm treading all over your freedom of peace and whatever. Then, if you're free to walk away and I'm free to walk away, we're free to go about our own personal journeys in life. And we don't decide to hurt each other because we're different. This whole racism, socialism, communism, all the isms of the world have been beating us toothless for years, decades, centuries, whatever. And as long as we look out there and we're willing to look there and see a difference in anybody outside the fact that, hey, there's another human over there. You know, if we're going to sit there and label ourselves, we're going to allow other people to label us. I'm responsible for one person in this world. I'm responsible for my actions. I'm responsible for everything I choose to do and say in my life. And I take full responsibility. If I cause harm, I will try to rectify the situation and make things right with whoever I caused harm to. But I am not, and will never be, responsible for any actions that anybody under the guise of the same beliefs that I got did in the past or even in the future. I can't control their hands. Their brain is in control of their hands. Their brain is control of their actions, their mouth, their feet, whatever. Just like mine. And I live by the whole do unto others as you'd have them do unto you concept. I choose to live that way. Because I don't want people doing me wrong. But I don't want to look at somebody and label them as a black man or a white man or a yellow man or a red man. And I can't even find the right words to even say it. But why should I have ever even been put in the position to have to distinguish between one human and another just because they look differently? You know, this world out here, there are people out there that different sexual orientations, different colors, different political views or whatever, and they're all protesting, and they're protesting for their freedoms and their justice and their tolerance and their doggone it, the other lunicorn done eluded me again. The respect. And we spend all of our times out here continuously trying to defend our own ideas against everybody else's wishes and against everybody else's beliefs. And humanity is stuck in a rut. You see what I'm trying to point out here, guys? There's a continuous, divisive labeling system of the world. And all those folks behind the scenes, the Jerry Springers, the greedy individuals, the little dots, or the governments of the world, the so-called representation, are running amok. They're getting rich and richer and richer off the backs of all the feuds and fighting and fussing going on. You go out there and you protest your doggone government and act the fool and burn down your communities or beat each other up and end up in jail. The system just made more money. The media made more money. Everybody's making money because you're making a fool out of yourself. When in reality, if you want somebody to come around to your point of view, the easiest way to bring them around to your point of view is to practice what you preach. To live the way that you're talking about. To treat everybody equally. To be colorblind, so to speak. I'm not saying you can't notice that the person has zits on her face. I mean, God, unless you're blind, how can you not notice? But do you have to judge them because of that? Guy's got big ears and you find it amusing in your heart about it? You know. Now he's a monkey? There's proof of evolution. Look at that man's ears. Doggone it. Give that monkey a banana. There's a bigger picture out there. There's a bigger potential. There is a vast range of possibilities that we as humanity can literally accomplish. And I'm one who believes in the dream. I'm one who believes that if we actually decide, if we actually can gain the wisdom to give it a shot, we could accomplish so much. I mean, look at, during all of this chaos, look at all the technology that's advanced in society. Look at the way that we're talking to each other right now. The way that you're able to listen in on this show. That's just a tiny, that doesn't even scratch the surface of what we could actually create, what we could actually accomplish working hand in hand together. So how do we get there? We got to find those unicorns, man. Could very well be the case, Raymond, Thomas, could it very well be the case that those unicorns have been inside us all along?
I believe it's true, yeah. I believe it.
And while we're looking out to try to find them, we're not recognizing that they're actually inside us and we got the potential to use their powers at any given time. You know, the good book says that we were created in our God's image, all right? Which makes us creators. We create our own pain, we create our own suffering, we create our own destinies, our own wars, our own hate, our own discontent with one another. That's a lot of power. If you can open your mouth and cause a fight, that's a lot of power. You can cause somebody harm just by opening your mouth. If you can, by your actions, go out there and start a riot, that's a lot of power. If you can write some words down on a piece of paper and send it off to somebody that starts a war, that's a lot of power. We talk about throwing positive pebbles in the pond, and if you actually sit back and think about how profound that actually is, when you throw that positive pebble in that pond, those ripples go out and they will affect every creature inside that pond. So, with that said, there's where the whole free will thing comes in, man. You wake up in the morning and you choose that you're going to take that fresh day that you just got started with, that clean slate, and be a jerk. And you got to expect the unexpected. It's coming. It's coming with a vengeance. Sometimes karma's instantaneous. I'm just trying to sort through the mess. I'm trying to walk through this cesspool called life and come out the other side smelling like a rose, even though I know it's physically impossible unless I'm wearing some sort of toxic suit with a gas mask and there's a shower on the other side. But common sense is if you're going to walk through that, then maybe you might want to prepare. I'm trying to prepare myself and my life and my world and my friends and my family for the fact that they're going to have to go out there and they're going to walk through things that they don't like. And they're going to have to learn how to be tolerant of others that are different. Have you ever went anywhere in public and saw somebody whose actions just like really drove you nuts? Yeah? No? Either one of you?
Yeah, a few times.
Trying to ignore them right now. Oh.
My actions.
I don't never crowd, man.
Well, you had the choice. You could either walk over there and give them what for. You know? You could walk over there and give them what for. Or you could practice intolerance and understanding and say to your say to your own children, now see, children, that's a good example why you shouldn't be hateful.
Man. What for?
That's it.
What is what for, man? I want to know what for is.
Well, what for could be just about anything under the sun, given the old...
What about what to?
Yeah. What to do with the what for?
What? How about what one?
Give them the old beat down, well, man.
I want to know what five is, then.
Drag them behind the woodshed.
What's the 1-2? Give them the old 1-2.
I just told you the 1-2, but number five is dragging behind the woodshed. I got it.
Hey, I'm old. My ears don't work good, okay?
Yeah. You got to keep up, man. He was throwing the numbers out there. I'm throwing the answer. The what six, man, is like, watch your back. Watch your six. Or your 10, or your 2, or whatever.
You guys are getting silly now.
Well, it comes to a point where you almost have to laugh in the face of adversity, or life will get you down. I mean, how do you get around all the chaotic craziness going on in the world? You see people doing things that have absolutely no common sense. A lot of people like to sit around and watch videos of stupid people doing stupid things, like, you know, jumping on a trampoline with a pogo stick. Now, anybody with any kind of physics knowledge or scientific or even common sense would say, this can't end well. But yet there are people out there who's willing to try to do things like, you know, light a Roman candle and aim it towards their face. But hey, I got safety goggles on. It's all good. There ain't no cure for stupid. Somebody told me that once. So, I want to see the ultimate goal achieved. I want to see how far humanity can really go. I mean, to boldly go where no man has gone before. I want to see how far that humanity working together could bring this world. I mean, I see a heaven on earth, a utopia, a possibility that if everybody decided, just for some crazy reason, let's give this whole working together thing a shot and see what we can get done. You know, if you go outside and you look in your yard and your yard's a doggone mess, and you go out there and you spend some time and you clean that yard up and you get really looking nice and you know, it took you several hours to do it, then you accomplished something. But just think, if your neighbors see you over there working on your yard and they say, man, you know, he's trying to make some improvements, let's go over and give him a hand, right? And so your neighbors all come over there and they jump in on the bandwagon and they start
and they make a bigger mess. Oh.
No. They get the work done, the quality work done.
Hey, man, that guy's trying to fix his yard. He's going to make us look bad, man. He's going to get over there and mess that thing up, man. Make it look all nice. He's going to put a John Deere over it.
All the garbage cans, take them over there and dump them in his front yard. He's trying to make us look bad.
Hey, he cleaned his yard up, man. Now we know where to get rid of our trash.
And there are people out there with that mentality that that's exactly what they do. Hey, your house looks too nice. Let me go over there and tag it, you know.
There are people out there just like that.
Well, unfortunately, even those people have to be shown tolerance to an extent. They have to be held accountable for their actions, so if they're willing to go vandalize people's buildings and burn things down, they have to be held accountable.
Drive over their yard.
Yeah, if we're to live in what we classify as society and not tread on everybody else's bubbles. And, you know, I know that what I'm saying is pretty much, it's an uphill battle of epic proportions. I mean, you couldn't be asking for a more almost impossible quest of bringing the world together. But hypothetically and scientifically and plausibility of actually it working out, if everyone finally could come to the decision that these four unicorns that are within each one of us could actually be used by each one of us, and we came to that kind of understanding and decided to actually get up off the couch and start working together in our communities, there isn't nothing we couldn't accomplish. If there's a problem in your community, somebody in the next one over might have the answer to your problem. They got the design that's going to, you know, reroute your plumbing to where it needs to be so that it's not polluting your streets or whatever. There's so much that humanity's possible, the capabilities of humanity, there's so much that we have done already that we could do, and I'm talking in the good realm. We know we can be destructive. We know that humanity can be very, very destructive of epic proportions. We know that we can destroy our environment. We know we can destroy our communities. We know we can destroy one another. Heck, with the words coming out of our mouth, we can cause people to die. So if you got that power on one side of the spectrum, then why can't you use the power on the opposite side of the spectrum to do all the good portions of what you are capable of with those words?
Sticks and stones may break some bones, but words can start a whole war.
Yep. It's the truth, man. And so before people go out there and start spreading hate and discontent amongst each other, the Christian and the atheist shouldn't be arguing amongst each other who's right and who's wrong. They should be tolerating one another and trying to help one another make the world a better place. You know, going over there stealing the baby Jesus and using him for a basketball down on the local court isn't, like, you know, going to help your cause any. Sure, you might find some amusement in it when you swish baby Jesus through the hoop. But did that really seriously change the belief on the other side? You know, common sense, folks, it ain't so common when you look at the overall picture. If we're still selling bullets, then that means there's still a war. That means there's still danger.
If we're Will Robinson.
Yeah, if we're still selling weapons, then that means there's still danger. And until the danger's gone, if it's all right with you, I'd like to keep my weapons. Because I don't know. Some knucklehead going to come over there and try to whack me or my family. I might have to fend them off. You know, that's a shame. It shouldn't have to be like that.
There goes brotherly love right out the window.
Yep. But wait a second, man. You're a Christian. You shouldn't have a gun. You should just take it, man. You should just get shot. Well?
That's that dragon in the unicorn suit talking.
You know, if you live by the sword, you're surely going to die by the sword. That's what it says. And so chances are, if I have to defend my family, I'll probably die by whatever means that I had to defend my family. But I can't just lay down to evil. I wasn't never meant to lay down to evil. I wasn't never meant to let the devil walk over the top of me. I'm better than that. As a human, you're better than that. We're all better than that. We don't have to lay down to evil. If we're not willing to stand up and sacrifice whatever it takes to make sure that this world is safe for all, if we're too busy regulating each other's freedoms away from each other and fighting over everything under the sun to pay attention to the person that's behind the curtains at the whole land of Oz, it's pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. He's pulling the strings and manipulating you, just like the whole Jerry Springer episode where he's behind the scenes and he's nudging both sides of the party to get them to feud so that he's going to get paid.
Sure is. Who was it that said the only way evil can exist is for good men to do nothing?
That's right.
Who said that? Was it Hamilton or Jefferson?
I think it was Jefferson. I could be wrong, though. But it's still true nonetheless. If you're willing to succumb to evil, if you're willing to jump on the bandwagon, hey, suddenly you find somebody else got the same kind of view you got. They're over there attacking somebody else because they got a different view. Hey, I'm with him. I believe just like he believes. You know? What do you do, man? You gotta have to understand, man, some people don't like coffee. They prefer tea. And just because... I wonder if there was ever a war between coffee drinkers and tea drinkers.
I'm sure there was a war over tea.
Well, yeah, they during the Boston Tea Party, they supposedly dumped a whole bunch of tea over in the ocean, which I wonder if the fish appreciated. I don't know. That wasn't environmentally sound, so people could call the founders of the country environmental terrorists. They threw tea overboard. They turned the whole bay into tea. Raymond says it's a lot. If you repeat it, history, if you allow it to happen, history will repeat itself over. You don't learn nothing from it. I'm saying everybody out there has a choice in what you choose to do or say and how you choose to react with the people. You have the right to paint everybody with whatever view that you want. But you got to remember, and while you're painting them with your personal view of what you want, you gotta allow them to paint you.
You don't have to remember nothing.
No, you can forget it all if you like. You can choose to forget everything. But just remember, though.
You can just let things happen, man.
You could. Live and let be. Live life and love. Stand idly by while some other innocent individual ends up losing their life because of what they look like or what they believe in. I'm not the guy that can stand idly by while the scales of justice are tipped the wrong way. So I'm doing what I can do. I'm doing what I have the power to do. I'm opening my mouth and I'm taking my chances that I might offend somebody. But if they have the tolerance and the understanding and the respect to just kind of hear me out, then they can tell me where I'm wrong and I'll listen to them. We'll either choose to go to the journey together or we'll choose to go our separate ways and agree to disagree in a respectful manner. My hope is that something that I say or something that I do will benefit the world in a positive manner, and it's positive pebbles that I'm sending ripples out. You know, there's folks that believe in the universe. There's folks that believe in a divine creator. There's folks that believe that it's all just total blackness afterwards. It doesn't matter right now in the here and now whether or not you're right or wrong. What matters is we're going to be in this boat together for some time until either you're gone or I'm gone. And we have to be able to cohabitate with one another and make it to the other side to find out whether or not we were right or wrong. But I'm kind of in hopes that on this journey that we take together, even though I don't always agree with what you got to say, that we can actually do something profound to make the world a better place, if not for our time, but for the future times. Be the Johnny Appleseeds of the world that plants the fruit that someday, down the line, is going to benefit somebody else. I may never ever get to taste the fruit of that apple tree. You know? But if I planted that seed like somebody did for me in the past, I got to have an apple that somebody planted the seed for. They never got to enjoy that fruit, but I did. And they wouldn't ever got it if they hadn't never done what they did. If they hadn't never put a positive move towards science, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. But I think that humanity could go so much further. I believe that we have so many more capabilities than the imagination even could even grasp. I think that all things under this sun are possible. Everything. I think if you can dream it, you can build it. And I honestly believe that there is a possibility that we literally could bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. If you believe in evolution, you should be on board with that. Because if we can reach this point that I'm talking about, this heaven on earth, this utopia, you know, then the folks that are born after us are going to enjoy the world and they're going to look back at us like, man, those were some really cool folks. Look what they did. We went from warring with one another and murdering one another and disrespecting one another to what we've got today. Because somebody stepped forward and said, you know, we can't keep doing this to each other. And I believe we have that capability to literally bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. And that goes counter to what most people look at the book that I call the good book, that it says in the last days there would be wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence. And that all these things must come to pass. But see, here's the thing. When I'm me as a father, I tell my children I'm heading off to work. These are the rules in the house. Follow these rules and take care of each other and make sure the house is in order. When I leave, I come back and the kids are busting the windows out and setting fire to the joint and beating each other toothless. I'm going to be a little rowdy about that whole episode because I'm going to be displeased. Now, if there was a creator out there, and you could understand that if they saw this coming down there and understood that the majority of the people to this point right here aren't going to make the attempt, then this is what's going to happen. You know that the wrath of your earthly father here, he comes home and you done burnt the house down, he's not going to be happy. But the possibilities of you guys actually doing the right thing for one another and him getting home and being happy about it, alright. Ain't got no reason to throw no wrath on you if you done cleaned house and taken care of each other. Just like nature wouldn't have no reason to throw the wrath down on us if we were taking care of nature. If you allow the fish bowl to get polluted, then the fish is going to die. If you kill off all the species of the world and you destroy all the plants and you throw nature out of balance, nature's going to fight back with a vengeance. So whether you believe in a God or whether you believe in a nature or a universal design or whatever, the whole fact of the matter is every single action out there has consequences, both good and bad, for whatever it is that you choose to do.
Hey, Mr. Zeus, I want to apologize, but I've got to get out of here. I've got to get some material to the job. My guys are sitting on the job almost out of material.
All right, well, be safe, brother.
And I love you guys, but I'll see you later, okay? Bye-bye.
Be safe, brother. That's the plain and simple of it, man. I hope that we can get this accomplished. I hope that, you know, we start the ball rolling in the right direction. We don't have to be offensive to one another. We don't have to be violent to one another. We don't have to do anything. We can just sit around and watch the world as it collapses. And we can get out there and we can try to make it better. But you gotta proceed with wisdom. With whatever journey or quest you decide to go on. You have to know that the respect and the tolerance and the other unicorns that I mentioned and keep forgetting, they're within you. And they always have been. Just like that evil is in there too. Because every human out there has some potential to do some really rotten things. You can choose how you want to proceed. But the consequences is the world that you got to live in. The road that you pave into the future is the road that you and your ancestors will live in and have to travel until we finally figure out a way to get our act together. That's as simple as that. Ain't no debate going to solve it. Ain't no amount of arguing going to solve it. Ain't no killing, lying and stealing and propagandizing going to solve it. the whole entire solution that everybody's been looking for all along. The radio station that I started off was seeking solutions. Well, I'm telling you, the easiest way to find a solution to any problem you've got is to go stand in front of the mirror. You personally are the solution to the problems of the world. And am I saying that you can go out there and conquer the entire world and take you and make it all better? No, you've got to figure out that you got to help out everybody else see that sight that you saw, where they look in the mirror and they see themselves. And once everybody gets a good look at themselves and they understand how powerful they truly are, and then they just make the choice of whether or not they want to be on the dark side or the good side. And I'm not talking about the religious portion of the whole dark side or the good side. I'm just talking about the difference between right and wrong, the difference between good and evil. However you want to classify it, doing something nasty to somebody as opposed to doing something nice for somebody. You get that mindset going out there and allow people to choose which side of the fence they want to stand on, the dark side or the light side. And you might be surprised at how fast this world will change. You might be surprised at how many more good people there are than there are bad people. You say you can't get nothing done because the world is full of greed. Well, I would like to submit that there are more people out there who are not greedy than there are greedy. There are more people out there who are good than bad. It's the dots. There's a little video out there. Big old crowd of dots being told what to do by a little tiny bitty group of dots. And most of them, in order to keep the peace, they just go along to get along. Maybe some of the people in the large group agree with some of the little portions. They don't agree with all of it. They call it like the lesser of two evils. It's like your government. There's good portions of your government. Even if you're like anti-government, you gotta admit, there are good portions of your government. You can call the police if somebody's there trying to kill you. You know? Sometimes you might not want to call the police. But you still had that option as long as you had that government. Once that government's gone, this is something that most folks out there hadn't figured out yet. When all these anti-government people out there and all these protesters against the police departments and everything else, when and if they finally accomplish what they want and all the police go away and they get what they want, go out there and look at the old Mad Max movies. Go out there and look at the Road Warrior or Thunderdome movies. Go out there and look at the series Jericho. And see just a glimpse of what society would be without any form of government. No executive branch to turn to, no legislative branch to turn to, no judicial branch to turn to. It's just the biggest, baddest boy on the block is your boss, and you either know your place and shut your face, or he'll do it for you. So as opposed to throwing the baby out with the bathwater, maybe, just maybe, we ought to do something to make that baby more comfortable and work with that baby to fix it and make sure that that baby is raised up properly. And when I'm saying properly, I'm saying with freedom, with justice, with respect, and one other elusive unicorn. Tolerance.
So you don't have things typed up or written down somewhere.
Well, That might be the what I need to do to make myself better. But when I started this fire of today's show, this is where I wanted to end up. Right here. Because there's elections coming up. There's feuding about the elections. There's things going on in the world. Tons and tons and tons of things that need to be fixed. Some of y'all out there got the tools to fix them. Some of you out there don't know that you got the tools to fix them. And without the knowledge of what you're actually capable of doing, chances are you're probably just going to go along to get along. You're going to accept the lesser of two evils in order just to go along to get along. And that's sad, because by the next election cycle, or by the next war, or by the next drama goes on out there in the world, we're still going to be doing the same doggone thing, arguing over what's right and what's wrong. Is there or isn't there a God? Is there or isn't there aliens? Is the world flat? Is it round? Is there or isn't there a one world conspiracy to overthrow and enslave all of humanity? Is there or isn't there a Planet X or a Nibiru coming to blast us off the face of the rock that we're standing on? These are the questions, among many others. The differences that we see in each other when we look at each other, our different points of views, these are all the things that those doggone unicorns could not only recognize but resolve when they finally realize that the unicorn is you. Everything that you've been looking for all along is you. You're not any better than anybody else. You're not any worse than anybody else. You have the same choices, no matter what you look like or what you believe. But some of your other unicorns out there don't mind stepping on your toes because they don't like what you believe. Those folks that are doing that to each other, those folks that are going out vandalizing churches and harming one another, those are the folks that sometime down the line, if all goes well the way that they like it, are going to find themselves living in a world that they don't really want. Their families, their friends are going to have to walk the roads, the paths that they have laid before them. And they will either benefit from the fruits of their labor or suffer from the fruits of their labor. It's as simple as that. We got a choice. Now it's time to choose. I choose to try to work with people, Thomas. I choose to try to make this world a better place in every little form or fashion that I can possibly do it. I choose to exercise my freedom and wield that sword of truth in a protective manner against all the evils of the world. And if there is a sword to live and die by, let mine be the sword of truth and justice and tolerance and respect. I could die by that sword.
In an AK-47? What?
Well, I don't own an AK-47, so hopefully I don't get shot by an AK-47. All I'm saying is I'm going to choose to walk my path the way that I walk it.
I'll say there, you say that, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, but there's also another saying that says those who choose to beat their swords into plows will be forced to use those plows to grow food for those who kept their swords.
So, what are you trying to say to me?
I'm trying to say there are people out there that will take advantage any way they can, man.
Oh, I'm sure there are. There's always going to be knuckleheads. They'd like
instead of preaching, you got to trust everybody and give them a chance, I say we trust nobody. Make them all prove themselves, no matter who they are.
And that's why you got to pay attention to detail wherever you go on your journey, so you don't fall off the cliff or get surprised by the pirate or whatever. I ain't saying life ain't dangerous because you got to be careful, but I don't want everybody living in fear. And, you know, it's all common sense to me. I don't understand why the whole rest of the world can't get it. You got to really watch what you ask for in this world because you might very well end up getting it. And it might not be the government you wanted. If you overthrow the American government and the one coming after is worse than the one you had this time around, would you really want to take that doggone chance? Seriously. Would you really want to take the chance that nothing would ever get resolved and you'd have to live in a Mad Max or Thunderdome or Road Warrior or Jericho style world? Where you have to look over your back and it doesn't matter what you believe, it matters how big your gun is and how fit you are and how much you can fight. I want to spend the rest of my life or have my children spend the rest of their life fighting to survive when I know that we all have the potential to take care of one another. Nobody out there owes me anything, Thomas. Nobody out there owes me anything. But it's like there's a term in law called reciprocity. What you'll do for me, I'll do for you kind of thing. If I treat you respectful, are you going to treat me respectful? You see what I mean? Our backs are against the wall when it comes to trying to make a world a better place as far as the world has deteriorated as far as I'm concerned. It's a mess. But should I just lay down and give up? Or should I keep on pressing on and standing here and preaching common sense? To some folks, I'm preaching to the choir. And to those folks, I shouldn't be preaching to the choir. Because when is the time that you get out of the pew and you go out and preach for yourself? When you go out there and be the light. When you go out there and spread common sense. Comes a time whenever you know enough about being good to people out there that you can go out and show people how to do it. Maybe other people will follow your example. As far as my beliefs go, all of us are ministers. It's not one person. All of us. That's what I was raised to believe. That if you're blessed, you go out there and you share that blessing. That's your testimony to the world. If somebody does something wonderful for you, you go out and do something wonderful for somebody else. Some people like to call it pay it forward. That's where I come from. That's the road I'm on right now. And I'm traveling down this road and I'm doing the best I can with what I got to work with. I ain't got no more than what you seen here to work with. What you've seen when you come to my house. I'll offer you shelter and bread and food and friendship. That's the way I was raised. That's the whole do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So what are we going to do, Thomas? Are we going to pick up the hitchhiker next go or drive by and hit the mud hole and slop him?
Why can't we do the in-between, man?
Which is slop them and pick them up?
Huh. Or don't do either. Don't pick them up, but don't make it any harder on them than it already is.
Well, yeah, that's the choice you're going to make, to go around them in a respectful manner. Sorry, brother. See you later. I see a dream in my head, what I see that this world could be capable of, and I know that not everybody shares in that dream. Everybody wants freedom, they want justice, and they want respect, and they want tolerance. Those are all things that if you give them, you get them. If I give you the freedom to live your life without my interference, then I get the same back, right? If I give you the tolerance to believe in what you believe without my interference, I get the same back, right? If I give you the justice...
That all depends on who you're asking, man.
If I give you the respect, I get the same back, right? And it does all rely on who you're asking, because some people don't care. Some people don't care just because you're different. You will always be different. You will always be the infidel. To them, the way they were raised, the way that they believe, you go against everything that they believe in. I'm not that man. I am no better, nor am I any worse than anybody else on this planet. I am just a human trying to do what a human should be doing, and being a good caretaker of those around me and the world that I live in. Because if I harm those around me, then they go away, and I'm alone. If I destroy the world around me, then it goes away. And once again, I'm alone. When I conquer the entire world and just put it in utter destruction, I'm like the Metallica song. I'm the king of nothing. King of the trash heap. You see what I'm trying to say, Thomas?
No, I typed in there and I'd be right back. So I didn't hear anything you said, I just sat down.
Oh. Well, essentially I've just conquered the world and I've destroyed it in the process, and now I'm the king of nothing. I'm the king of the trash heap! I'm at the top of the hill! And all these elites out there that are wanting to bring us into World War III, when they get done with it all, there ain't going to be nothing for them. They think they'll go down in there and live happily ever after in their doggone bunkers, and then eventually come out and reseed the planet and repopulate it and have their new utopia. But in reality, they ain't going to do nothing. Because when this ship sinks, they're going down with it. When they rush up into their bunker, the bobcats and the bulldozers and the concrete trucks will roll in and plug in the hole, and life will go on without them. Life above will be miserable for everybody, because all the bombs and the shooting and the guns going on, and they'll be running out of supplies down there trying to figure out a way to get out of the cage that they just put themselves in. So the elites out of the world aren't going to succeed in their ultimate goal to conquer the world. And the people aren't going to succeed in their ultimate goal of getting everybody to agree. Unless we figure it out. Unless we get our act together. Our destiny path stinks. We're going to keep on doing what we've been doing.
But we gotta pass that bill before we can see what's in it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. What's in common sense is less people get hurt. What's in respect is less people get hurt. What's intolerance? Less people get hurt. What's in freedom? Same thing. And so on. You get what you get, you get what you give, and so on and so forth. If you do unto others what you want them to do unto you, is you're going to go out there and get violent, and you can call it karma, you can call it whatever you want. For every action is an equal and opposite reaction, or vice versa. All I wanted to do is shout some word of common sense going to keep somebody from stubbing their toe across the doggone globe. And if they don't stub their toe, the dominoes might not tip. So if I'm telling you out there that you got a chance to make a heaven on earth or a utopia, so to speak, then wouldn't it be something to at least try? Try it before you deny it? I don't want to live in a utopia. It seems boring living around everybody's always getting along. It's more exciting to fight. It's more exciting to have drama. But that's the world that you want to live in. I guess there ain't no fixing it for you. I'd like to live in a peaceful world where I don't got to look over my back every 5 seconds or pay some government official taxes on something I already paid for. I'd like to be my property, be my property, my life be my life, with my freedoms and my choices. And as long as I ain't out there hurting you or trying to steal from you or whatever, I think even a non-believer could agree in that simple concept. Do it for yourself, if nothing else. Make your world a better place for yourself, if nothing else. And if this turns out to be a hologram like everybody says, and you get on the other side and everybody's laughing at you, oh, look, man, he's out there preaching Christianity all the time, and it was all a joke, we just all universal guys, you know, we're beings of light. Well, I guess the ha-ha will be on me, because everything I've been showed to this point led me to where I'm at. And that's what I believe, and so this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to throw the positive pebble in the pond to try to deflect the tsunami of craziness coming my way. So if I get on the other side and it's a ha-ha moment, you're not going to see a very happy camper on the other side. I'll tell them what I think when I get the other side. And if it all turns out that it's just all black and I'm gone and I'm gone, I won't even know the difference anyway. But out here in this world that we call life, I'm making the I'm making lemonade out of the lemons. And I'm trying to do what I can to make this world better. Not according to my view, just according to what I believe. I'm trying to get out there and show everybody that we can live in peace. We can advance our technologies and make sure that everybody out there is cared for. My gosh, if you got enough money to drag a war machine across to a foreign nation and mop it into the Stone Age, then you should have enough money to go the other direction to the folks down there. These guys over here want to fight. All right? Those guys over there want to eat. And I'm thinking, fight or eat. Fight or eat. These guys need to eat. That's more important. I'm going over there to feed these guys. You guys go ahead and duke it out. When you're done, let us know. That's what we should be doing. That's what we talk about here. You're always going to have people out there hate each other. The first murder was all... the first murder, according to what I heard, was done with a rock. Brother killed a brother with a rock. From that point on, it was knives and swords and whatever they could get their hands on. Mankind had figured out ways to murder one another by the thousands and the millions. And because some folks didn't believe in what somebody else believed, they rounded up whole segments of society that they all painted with the same brush and said, because you're this, you must die. And how long are the good people of the world going to stand idly by why the jerks of the world keep rounding people up. The bullet's going to continue to fly. And a lot of folks will say, well, it's not in my neighborhood. Until it lands here, I'm not going to worry about it. Even though it's heading their way. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. It's hard to contemplate a peaceful world, man. Because what I've been told is the world's a mess. What I've seen from people's actions, it's a mess. I exercise my freedom by telling everybody that I believe in peace, hope, and love. And I'll stand firm on that. When it all comes down to it and somebody says, well, I'm going to kill you if you don't change your point of view, well, I guess I'm going to have to die. If they're going to have to kill me because I decide I want to be a Christian, then I guess they're going to have to kill me. But I'm not going out and killing nobody. I don't have the want. Nor the need to go out and kill nobody. I have no want nor need to go out and do harm. I just want to live in peace. So I live out in the country. And I want everybody else in this world to be able to live in peace. I'd like to be able to look into the Matrix one day and see like, hey man, look everybody, there's some good things going on. That's what I was talking about. That's peace, hope, and love there. You know, I've seen a lot of different videos out there where there were a lot of good things, and I shared them with people. Because I wanted people to see what I see. That the whole world isn't a totally trash. I don't know how many people can actually drive down the road. If you go to states in the United States, like Denver, Colorado, or California, and you look up like around the mountains and stuff like that, and a lot of the different beautiful landmarks that are all over, and how you could like look out at that and not see something amazing, the beauty of everything. Whether you want to call it creation or evolution, it doesn't matter. However it got here, it's beautiful, it's cool, natural. And I'm thinking, maybe we ought to want to try to take care of this. Instead of trying to test our nuclear bombs in a desert, maybe we ought to not test them at all. Maybe we ought to put down the doggone guns and the ammunition and the knives and the hate and the discontent. Maybe we ought to just try to get along. Maybe we ought to want to try to use our resources and our technology to make people healthy again. The people ain't having to live in fear. Where whole segments of society don't have a stigma on them. I shouldn't have to say it, man. But as long as I see it, I gotta point it out. You don't gotta listen. You really don't. You're free to do whatever you want. And if what I'm saying is offensive to you, you don't gotta listen to it. As long as the words are coming out of my mouth, they won't be followed by the F-bomb and the S-bomb and all the other expletives that try to emphasize how powerful I am. No, they're going to be followed up by peace, hope, and love. Because that's what I want out of this world. That's all I ever wanted out of this world. From the time I was born into this world, that's all I ever wanted. I just wanted people to get along. I wanted people to stop beating me up. I wanted people to stop beating everyone else up. I just wanted people to get along. families breaking up all the time and craziness going on, dramas and dilemmas and people changing partners like they're changing hats, hearts breaking and violence and craziness. Imagine that little kid. I saw a picture one time of a little monkey looking up at the world. And that little monkey's just so cute, man. He's got the little innocent eyes and he's looking up at the world and he's like, what's happening here? The little baby's looking up around him and the family's fighting around him and all that. That's where they learned it all, man. That's where they learned it. And for every bad thing that's happened to you by a certain segment of society, you're going to carry those scars around, and that's just like it was mentioned to me. That before you see something coming your way, you're going to start ducking because of your past experience. And I apologize. Even though I had no part in it, I apologize. Because you shouldn't have to live like that. You shouldn't have to live in fear or in shame. I'm not ashamed to be a white man. I'm not ashamed to be partially Cherokee. I'm not ashamed to be part French Canadian. I kind of had no choice in all that. But now that I know where I came from and what I am, I refuse to be ashamed of myself. Because I'm not out there trying to hurt this world. I'm not out there trying to do you wrong because of what you believe or not. I want to exercise my creativity. I want to create. I want to build. I love to create. According to my good book, I am a creator. It said that I was created in my Creator's image. So that makes me a creator. And I know that I can create pain, I can create suffering, I can create misery, or I can create peace, hope, and love. Personally, I like the peace, hope, and love side of the spectrum. Because the rest of it, pain down that road. I know the pain of hunger. I know the pain of beatings. I know the pain of ridicule. I know the pain of hate and discontent. I know the pain of not feeling like I belonged. I have experienced everything that you have experienced. I know what it's like to have somebody discriminate against me. I know what it's like to have somebody beat me. I know what it's like to have somebody steal from me, lie to me, cheat me. And what I learned from all that is that
I forgot and drive on my lawn,
and not to mention before they left stolen property in the middle of my driveway where I had to call the law to get it out of the driveway so I could get in and out of my driveway. But that didn't mean I had to go out there and retaliate on some other individual out there just because and drive on their lawn. I ain't out yard farming my neighbor. I chose to do the respectful thing. And I'm hoping that the rest of the world chooses to do that too. I don't like liver and onions. I never will like liver and onions. It's nasty. But if you like liver and onions, you can have my portion.
I don't like green eggs and ham either.
Well, I think I can handle the green eggs and ham as long as it ain't rotten I mean, the color of the eggs and ham don't sound... You know, there is something to be said for how your food looks. But I'm not a wasteful type, but I'm not eating a liver and onion, so I'll swap you my liver and onions for your green eggs and ham. How do you think? Yeah? No?
Nah, I'm okay. I don't need that liver and onions either.
Well, then I'm going to walk around the table and see who likes liver and onions, who has something that they don't like, and I'll trade them out, even if it's less. That don't mean we can't get along in the process. I don't have to throw the food in the trash when somebody else can use it. I'll give somebody a second portion and do without before I waste. That's me, man, in a nutshell. And I believe that's pretty much everybody else out there. I believe that just about everybody and his brother out there would give the shirt off their back if they needed to help somebody out. But you gotta understand that the doggone things that are going on out there, a lot of people are being played like a banjo. You're being manipulated into doing and saying things or settling for the lesser of two evils. Why do we gotta settle for the lesser of two evils? Why couldn't we just vote our conscience? The fear of the lesser, the more evil of the lesser of two evils getting elected is the reason why we settle for the lesser of two evils. Because if you vote for this third party candidate, the more evil's going to get in. The lesser of two evils going to lose. So let's go ahead and everybody bend our morals and beliefs and vote for this guy over here because he's better than that gal over there. Instead of finding the one who was leading by example all the time and supporting them and saying, look, you're going to have to vote for either one of these turkeys because this guy over here, he's doing it right. And he has been. He's got a good track record. If you feed the beast that's eating you alive and then you're complaining about the beast eating you alive, who's the fault? Who's to blame? If you regulate your neighbor's freedom out of existence, and then suddenly you want that flower pot in your yard? Scales of justice aren't going to work for you. You see what I'm saying, man?
And like, you know my answer to that, man.
Yeah. Climb down off your soapbox! I don't stand on a soapbox. I find that offensive and racist. I stand on a footstool. That's my pedestal. And somebody can, anytime they want, just come on, kick it right out from under me, and I can fall down, break my arm and my neck. And then they don't have to hear me anymore. Or they could come pull the plug out of the microphones. There. Now shut up, stupid. But that's just going to inspire me to go out and buy a better microphone with a sturdier plug that can be bolted or bricked into the wall so you can't pull it out. Put myself in a big old massive bulletproof bubble with a loud speaker and just walk all over the top of everybody's communications. We didn't learn nothing, did we? Oh, man. Folks, the Knights of the Round Table has offered you a seat at the table. So King Shaziz the Terrible and the Honorable Knight sitting around a table. Nobody's better than anybody at a round table. Nobody's sitting at the head of the table or above somebody else. The pastor at your church is no better than you. The good book says, for all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Whether you believe that or not, and even if you believe that we're all monkeys, primates, however you want to say it,
We're not all monkeys, just you.
Well, then I got to be that one that was in the Tarzan movie. Or Every Which Way But Loose, Clyde. He was an orangutan, though. And his smile is something else. Either way, if you give a monkey a gun and he doesn't handle it correctly, then that's up to you, man. Duck, dodge, dive, bob, weave, run for your life. It's exciting. Peace never came from the end of the barrel of a gun. It never came from the edge of a sword.
Who tried to call the Knights of the Round Table, Round Table?
Yeah.
It is a round table. Speak up.
It is a round table.
No, the group. Somebody tried to call it. Like about 10 minutes ago.
I missed it. Who was it?
That's what I just said. I don't know, man. Somebody tried to call. But they didn't type anything in. No thumbs up, no thumbs down, no swish around, nothing. Last thing was posted in there from somebody was you, and then last thing before that was old Dylan leaving.
Dylan leaving? The Knights of the Round Table?
Dylan has left. Whoever Dylan is.
Yeah. He's a good young kid. Well, that's it, you know. Right? People come and go all the time.
Yeah, he left yesterday.
They got their own personal journeys they're on. Might have read something that was said. Might have found offense to it. You know, you ain't never going to be able to please everyone.
Or maybe you got sick and tired of Skype because it wasn't working right. Figured somebody would add it back in later so it actually worked.
That's
do that
over
their own brain food all the time.
Everyone's welcome.
That's who you're talking.
Everyone's welcome on the round table. There's a microphone available to you. There's a platform to stand on and say your piece. We just practice peace.
Say it, don't spray it.
Respect. Yeah, say it, don't spray it. The unicorns, they're all there. The solutions are all there. Now all we got to do is get people motivated to put these solutions into action. To resolve the issues that everybody says the world has. If people are hungry, let's feed them. If people are homeless, let's put a roof over their head. If you want freedom, you got to give freedom.
You got to give freedom to get freedom?
Yep. If you want tolerance...
Got to pass a bill to get to see what's in the bill?
I got to allow you to be free if I want to be free, right? I can't enslave you and call myself free, can I?
Hey, this is going back to a statement from a movie. The things you own end up owning you.
Well, I don't really care about things that I own. I don't care about money or possessions or whatever. I mean, it's kind of cool to have things when you need them. But I can live or live without them. If somebody wants something from me so bad that they feel the need to steal it from me, I'd give it to them. I don't care. I'm not worried about all that. What I care about is watching people around me continuously make the same doggone mistakes and hurt each other. Arguing and fighting and fussing and drama. I'm a happy camper just sitting on the side of the doggone fishing hole, just sitting there minding my business and watching nature and fishing. You know, that's a simple life. It's all I need. Just like there might be some homeless folks out there that just choose to live that way. But the ones out there who would like to have a home, they should at least have the opportunity to do so. And everybody out there, it's a necessity. It is a need that everybody have substance to eat and water, fresh water and good food. I'm not telling everybody they should feel ashamed for having a nice dinner at their own home. I'm telling everybody that if there's an opportunity for you to help somebody else in need, that you do so. You know, and like I say, I'm preaching to the choir for the most part, because most folks out there do exactly that. They help others. They do good things. They try to, you know, right the wrongs of the world. There's folks out there who have just flat out given up. It's not possible to fix this mess. And the earth, the world, isn't my burden to bear alone. But it's painful to watch as it all dies. Imagine watching this really amazing artist create something so profound, so beautiful. I mean, just incredible. The best looking picture you've ever seen, or sculpture, or combination thereof. And then it all gets together and it's all like all beautiful, right? One of two scenarios happen. Either the creator is his worst critic and decides to just completely just smash it right before your very eyes. You just fell in love with it. It's beautiful. Or the people that he painted it to see, for them to be able to see, just come over and totally demolished it. So either scenario for the person who was amazed by the beauty watching it be destroyed. That's painful, man. I don't want to see anything bad happen to people. I don't want to see this earth be destroyed. I want to see nature and humans living in harmony. I want to see advancements in technology. I want to see how far that we can actually go together. I want to see what we can really accomplish when we set our minds to it. And it's going to take a lot of work to take the selfishness and greed portion out of the society and to show them that, you know, a house don't get built by one man alone. If it does, that's one impressive man. Imagine if you had him on your team. He could do it all. You see my point, Thomas? If you can bring these people together, we can fix it. We don't have to live in a world like this. There's so much. If you have me cooking your dinner, you're going to feel the way I feel about liver and onions. Because I can't cook. But you might be able to take those same doggone ingredients that I was using and make a gourmet meal out of it. So, with that said, I need you. I need your talent. Because without you, I'm not having a tasty meal. I'm having a peanut butter sandwich or potted meat or whatever I can get a hold of that just already made and spreads on. I'm willing to admit I got weaknesses. I couldn't build a house from start to finish by myself. I could actually build a house, but would it be square? One side might be a little taller than the other. The windows might not sit exactly horizontal. Of course, they did to my eye when I was looking at it, but stepping back and standing wherever I'm standing, now it's all crooked. But if I had to, I could build that shelter. I can slap it together with whatever I can get a hold of, and there are people out there to do just that. I say we all get together and we build them folks a nice house. We feed these hungry people out there some nice food. It beats the alternative, going over there bombing the crap out of them. They call it collateral damage when a drone strike goes off and takes out some innocent individuals. It's that whole lesser of two evils thing. If we had to get this bad guy, he's so bad it's worth taking out 100,000 good folks. Same things goes with all your political and religious views. Are 100,000 Democrats bad because a certain segment of them decided to be jerks? Are 100,000 Republicans bad because a certain segment of their deal decided to be jerks? Is everyone a racist because they're white? Is everyone a racist because they're black or brown or yellow or red? That's my point. It's time for the good people of the world to stand up and choose sides. It's either good or it's bad. It's as simple as that. So, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and that's pretty much what I got to say. If I offended you, I apologize. If I helped you, I'm happy. And if you got a word of wisdom that you got to share with the world, you got a microphone right here anytime you want. And I'd like to see you here. So Thomas, you got any last words before we bail up out of here?
I think you've talked enough for both of us.
Yep, yakety yak, that's it. Job, Jack, and get off your soapbox, fools. Alright, well, if you like this podcast, share it. If you don't like it, then don't share it. If you believe in peace, hope, and love, and a better way, in the four elusive unicorns.
Good luck thumbing it down.
Yeah, good luck thumbing it down. And speaking of that, I got the one doggone video I showed everybody how to make a battery out of hedge apples. Man, right out of the gate got thumbed down. It's already probably 3 thumbs downs already. I mean, I show them just a little bit of something cool. Hey, you got voltage out of it. That's a start. And then, from what I knew, hedge apples weren't worth nothing but throwing at each other anyway. They're sticky. They're not really good to eat and whatever. But they will make a battery. So, go out there and thumb the world down, man. Thumb it all down. Go out there and mock and ridicule one another. Paint with a wide brush. Paint them all!
Did you forget how to spell your name?
Why?
Or did you just run out of room?
Where?
On your video.
Oh, that little flash thing that comes on there?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see the Z's down below it? That's because it only allows you to have a certain size text in there. I didn't size it right. All right, everybody, you've been listening.
Just falling asleep, man.
No, it's you know, redneck. Nothing has to be perfect in the redneck world. It just has to be cool or funny. All right, everybody, you've been listening to Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love. Do unto others the way you want them to do unto you. Peace, hope, and love, and take care of one another. Be good caretakers, and I think we can turn this ship around before it smacks into the iceberg. All right, that's it. I'm out of here.
Woman, man. Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, good people. I am in haste.
Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet!
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet! I order you to be quiet!
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights to the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights to the round table, our shows are more mid table. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We'll rock and mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire of Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hey, hey! King Shazir the Terrible! Always working King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!